The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Welcome, welcome. So I wasn't here last week, and I'm happy to be back. And I'm going to continue on this theme of the inner critic. It's quite something. I was teaching a retreat last week. It was a little, I was substituting for another teacher a little bit at the last moment. And it was quite something for me, like in retreat practice, we, for those of you who've been on retreat know this, that there's one-on-one meetings with the teachers. And, you know, after having spent some time and on silence and allowing the mind and the heart to settle, and then so often what people are talking about is having to do with the inner critic. You know, when we kind of get quiet, these are the things that often float up. Or it's not the only thing that are floating up, and it's not the only thing that's happening, but it was just struck by, it's not uncommon. Let's just say that it's not uncommon to have this inner critic. And Ajahn Suchito, who is a well-respected elder in this tradition, I think he's from the UK. I can't remember if it's Australia or the UK, but maybe from the UK. And he talks about this idea. He uses the language of the inner tyrant. And he even has this book, The Inner Tyrant. And there's a number of things in there. But one thing I wanted to say is that he kind of describes the inner tyrant as the way that I would use as the inner critic. But, you know, a tyrant is somebody who pushes us around, you know, and maybe in a oppressive, relentless way. And when we think of the critic, in my mind doesn't have quite as a heavy association, but the tyrant does feel like that. And I mean, using that language does, and maybe that's closer to our experience, because Ajahn Suchito, he talks about this like a chain of thought that tells you you're not good enough, that you don't deserve much, telling you that other people look down on you. And this idea of being like dominated by this chain of thought, like somehow that we've given it authority or it affects us in some kind of way. And he also highlighted this idea of finding ourselves snagging on memories of things we did wrong. I love this expression, snagging on memories. Like as if, you know, kind of our life is going and then we get a little snag and kind of like things get a little bit stuck. And or maybe there's a way in which there's a snag and then it just unwinds and unwinds and unwinds and in a way that doesn't feel comfortable. So he goes on to Ajahn Suchito and he talks about that the mind getting snagged up as well as on memories of things that we did wrong, but just on what he's described as kind of like moods and thoughts that are on the surface. There's not really deep inside of us, but it's things that are more on the surface. And he's pointing to that deeper inside of us is this basic goodness that we all have, but we don't recognize it when the inner tyrant, the inner critic is there, is up and running, so to speak. And instead, the inner tyrant is being more concerned with what's on the surface and not really connected to what's going on. And so the inner tyrant being on the surface is allowed to get stuck in disputes and fantasies and worries and in some ways kind of disconnected from ourselves and maybe even what's actually happening. Like as soon as the inner tyrant really gets going, there can be a way in which there's a collapsing of our awareness or just believe everything that's saying, even though there might be plenty of other data, so to speak, that's available at that time. So loving kindness practice is a way that can kind of help connect us with our hearts so that we don't get so easily snagged by things that are just on the surface. And not only does it help to connect us to our hearts, but it's a way in which we can maybe provide an alternative dialogue to the inner tyrant. So a different way of considering ourselves, or not that we're going to pretend that we're perfect and never make mistakes or anything like that, because that's a little bit ridiculous. We all make mistakes. That's part of the human experience. But as a way for us to maybe take some of the authority away of this inner tyrant, to be reminded that there are alternative narratives, and to be reminded that there is this basic goodness inside of us, even though sometimes we don't feel like it, doesn't mean it's not there. Just because we're not tuned into it. Okay, so with that as an introduction, we'll do some meditation. As we often do, we'll do a little bit of mindfulness, and we'll start with some love and kindness. It can be really powerful to just soften our hearts a little bit. And we start where it's easy, absolute easiest. And allow the heart to soften and open. And then we'll work a little bit with the inner critic. So taking an alert posture, a posture that reflects your intention to practice meditation, but also has some ease and some spaciousness. Checking in with the body. What is it like to sit in this posture? Sit either literally or maybe figuratively. To sit and know you're sitting. Maybe tuning into the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. Feeling the contact. We're grounded. We're here. Tuning in to the sensations of breathing, feeling the movement of the body as it breathes, or feeling the sensations of air going in and out of the nose. When the mind wanders, just simply, gently begin again. No need to make extra stories. The inner critic sometimes likes to jump in there and say something like, oh, you should be more mindful. That's okay. You can just allow the inner critic to just maybe recede in the background as best you can, as best you can. And just rest the attention on the sensations of breathing. tuning in to what does it feel like to have an out breath. And what does it feel like to have an in-breath? And then to do some loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, a being for whom it's easy, 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 uncomplicated, straightforward, to feel some warm-heartedness towards, to feel some kindness, some care, respect, love, whichever word you would like to use. But we start where it's easy. This might be kittens on a cat video. This might be somebody in your life. This might be somebody you don't have a relationship with, but they've touched you with their teachings or writings, for example. And bringing this lovable being to mind and connecting with them. And to support the connection and cultivation of loving kindness, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. and then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. So important to include ourselves. Like bringing an image of oneself to mind, or maybe tuning into the felt experience of this moment, the bodily experience. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. In the same way that we have warm-heartedness for the lovable being, can we extend that to ourselves? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to work more specifically with the inner critic. The inner critic often gets activated when there's some difficulties or some tension. So bring to mind something that you have a little bit of difficulty with. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 2 or a 3. And then keeping this difficulty in mind, or having the felt sense of this mild difficulty, here are some phrases that can be used. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. You don't have to use all of these phrases. Just use what's helpful and leave behind the rest. Another phrase is to speak directly to the inner critic or the inner tyrant. I know you are trying to help, but that's not helpful. I know you're trying to help, but that's not helpful. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. I know you're trying to help, but that's not helpful. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. So this idea that the inner critic is more like on the surface of our experience, or maybe that's not always the best language. Sometimes we might use language like lost in thoughts, or more about ideas and concepts rather than the actual experience or the actual embodied experience. And so one way to counteract or work with or mitigate this inner tyrant or this inner critic is to get in touch with more of our inner experience and recognizing the basic goodness that we have in ourselves. But, you know, that's not always accessible. That's not always available. And that's partly why this practice can help us recognize our basic goodness and help us just get in touch with our own hearts. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you can explore this idea of being on the surface as opposed to being more connected to the interior experience, the inner experience that's connected with our goodness. the goodness that we all have. And so it's helpful just to say one point when you're in these breakout groups, and then let it go to the next person. And then they say just one point. And then it goes to the third person, and then they say one point. And then it comes back around to the first person. And having heard some other comments, they might have some new ideas. So allow yourself to be surprised by what you say. So as opposed to maybe having everything all planned out, probably exactly what you're going to say, or while other people are talking, maybe you're thinking about what you're going to say. Just maybe allow yourself to see what bubbles up when it's your turn to speak. So just a reminder, please don't give advice. And this isn't the place, because these are short meetings where you give like a long story or something like that, or educate other people. It's more just an opportunity for people to connect and maybe share some ideas. You don't have to share your deepest, darkest secrets, but share some ideas about the idea of the inner tyrant or the inner critic be more on the surface of our experience, as opposed to connected to our inner goodness. I'll just use this vague word, goodness. Maybe you have a better word. So you'll be in the groups for, 12 minutes. And if it's helpful, you can go in the order of, let's go alphabetical order. Okay, here we go. And as I said, that bunch of people jumped out, and I'd like to even up the rooms here so nobody is by themselves. Okay, here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share? Any aha moments, or maybe something new that you hadn't thought about before? Yes, Stephanie.
Hi, thank you so much for holding this space for us. I just have a quick question. Mm-hmm. So I wrote down all the statements that you're saying, you know, when we're dealing with the inner critic. I'm wondering, do you recommend focusing on one, using them one after another? What do you recommend as the, practice?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think at different times, it's different. If I would say if there's one in particular that feels like it resonates and is relevant, then stick with that. If they feel like, oh, there's nothing, I'm not quite sure, then go ahead and do all of them. So just, is that helpful, Stephanie?
Yes, yes. I was basically doing a mix of both. So I'll just work with that. You know, maybe one day will be different from another.
Exactly. That's sometimes when I practice, that's how it is. Like different days are different and stuff. So try them out and see how they feel. Yeah. Thank you,
Stephanie. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, Laura. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Is this Meredith speaking? Okay. So Meredith and then Laura.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Well, one comment. Sometimes the inner critic is a cover, so to speak, or an artificial kindness. Like, that's okay. It sounds kind and it's not good direction. It's not honest, but it's trying hard to fake kindness. Mm. I realized somewhere along the line that for years I dismissed myself by saying, oh, that's okay. That's okay. You know, it wasn't. I mean, it probably wasn't. You know, but there was this habit of. And if you have any thoughts about or reflections on, I was the scapegoat. And when I was very young and continued through my life. And that's a good place to feel compassion, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And hold the young self. And I retreat from speaking my mind, basically. But
and so this could be a good place where maybe this phrase, like, may this difficulty be held with kindness and ease, is a way that has a flavor of compassion without it making it feel like we have to do something, or it doesn't have so much of this it's okay or it's not okay or something like this.
Great. I like that. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate it.
May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you.
Laura.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more to the, you mentioned something about the sort of external or superficial versus deeper. So, and I think I missed that.
Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of, I didn't really talk a lot about this, but sometimes we might think that the surface, we might think of that as just like passing thoughts that we have, that they're just maybe thoughts that don't have a lot of connection to ourselves or connection to, I mean, of course they are, right? Because they're nobody else's thoughts, but that it's different than, you know, when we're quiet and we're with ourselves and we have a different sense of our inner experience, whereas thoughts, sometimes we just say things and maybe thoughts are just on the surface. So the recognition that the inner critic is often reacting to these surface things, like the thoughts that we have, or also maybe on the surface is we compare ourselves to others or something like this, as opposed to being connected and grounded and settled or something like that. Is that helpful? Okay, great.
Yep, that's great. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura. Peggy, and then this will be the last one.
It struck me in our group, we all mentioned the inner critic being more active at a time when we were having physical difficulties, whether it was sickness or an injury, or it, like when we most need compassion, it's almost less available to us.
Thank you for highlighting that. It's quite something, right? How we, there's this inner belief when things are uncomfortable, it's so common. There's like, there's something wrong, or I've failed in some way. Like, I've failed if I'm uncomfortable. There's this kind of like unspoken pressure or expectation to always be comfortable. And when we're not, the inner critic gets a hold of that and runs with it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Peggy.
But just seeing it helps me be a little more compassionate and hearing others that have it also. That's good.
Thank you. I'm happy to hear this, that it helps you to be more compassionate and also reconnecting to others, realizing, oh, I'm not the only one that has this, or, you know, works with this. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's lovely to practice with all of you. Thank you. Thank you for your practice. And wishing you all a lovely rest of the evening. Thank you. And if you'd like to unmute, we can just all say goodbye in an unruly way. So bye-bye and thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Diana.
Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Much.